Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Scott, who is here to speak with us about the very exciting water tank installation that's happening here at the monastery. Welcome, Scott.
Hi, Jen.
Hey. So, you know, I was thinking probably a number of folks have the background, but maybe not everyone in terms of what Sherry wrote about, actually in two places now. I think she sent a letter out to the Sangha in gratitude for the ability to get the tanks and kind of where that came from, and also beautifully written about it in the recent newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe one of us could take just a minute or so to give the background on why we're taking this big project on. Do you want to take a run at that?
Sure. Sure, I'll get us going and then you can jump in.
Okay, great.
So most folks know California's been in a drought for a long time. And mm-hmm. we just were getting to a place at the monastery where we weren't going to be able to stay here because there's not enough water to run things. And so we were having a meeting in the garden and just as this whole process of putting the tanks in place happened, the information arrived about getting storage tanks for water, because we actually do get quite a bit of water coming from the sky during the winter. It's mm-hmm. just the process of capturing it. So, you know, we yeah. can use it during those, and we basically get zero water during the summer months. And
right.
and so that kind of launched us. I think we ordered them. I think we have four tanks, plastic yep. tanks, that hold,
yep.
I'm not sure, maybe you can remind me, but somewhere between 15 and 20,000 gallons of water total?
Yeah, well, on the property, we now have 20,000 gallons of water storage, yep, including the one
well,
tank that we, existing tank we had. Yeah, two existing tanks, I should say, one large one, one smaller one, yep. Yeah, yeah. And just that, I think a piece of it was just that gratitude that Sherry was expressing when we stood there that day in the garden and what she wrote to the Sangha about of, wow, thank goodness that when we come to a crossroads like that and life drops in that information, that we actually have the resources because of a dedicated Sangha to be able to do it and to be able to keep practice, the physical form of practice here at the monastery. So that was an amazing piece.
It really is. You know, every time we're putting our hands on these giant tanks and we're moving this way and that way, it's really fun to kind of imagine all Sangha's hands are there mm-hmm. helping us put these tanks mm-hmm. in place, because truly, we wouldn't be in that position. We wouldn't be in this place to have water without everyone else participating as well.
Oh, this is a beautiful, beautiful image. So say more about what you mean about putting our hands on these giant tanks.
Well, you know, the thing, well, gosh, there's so many things. But one is just, I think you started off saying how exciting it is. And there mm. is something so exciting about doing a project together. And this one, there is no, as far as I know, there's no manual or playbook about how to maneuver a 12-foot by 9-foot, 400-pound tank across the property into a certain position. So, you know, the whole thing has been such a workshop. It's so fun. And seeing how life is actually guiding us by moment by moment, it's mm-hmm. the way, you know, that Sherry wrote it in the monastery newsletter, you know, mm-hmm. so... Well, first of all, the first time that that we put the first tank in, I didn't know we were ready to do that. And I think Ashwini and some folks came into the office, and they're like, oh, is Scott here? And they said, do you want to roll with us? And I thought they meant, like, we have something we need to go do, or can you come with us? And I just watched, like, yes, yes. You know, just, I don't know what it is, but I'm with you.
Right.
And then I found out they actually literally meant, do you want to roll these giant tanks with us down from the upper parking lot, you know, down yeah. past Big Pine, and then push it up over into its spot behind the dorms. And
Yeah. Well, I just love that piece of, you know, there is no owner's manual for it. And that, you know, of course, they're designed to what, probably be put on a forklift and then, you know, brought down
right.
the highway and then, right, put in the cement block that's next to the road for the, well, and of course, we're out here at the end of a dirt road. And we have hills and, you know, dirt roads and paths and trees that we're unwilling to cut down and, you know, all sorts of things. So yes, exactly so. Instead of looking to the, well, how do you do something like this? We look to life. And it's really, I mean, everyone models it beautifully, but I, as you said, I think the guide, Sherry, it just models it in such a playful, insightful mm-hmm. kind of way that,
yeah.
so, you know, okay, got this position done. I mean, she described it perfectly in the newsletter. We've got it here. Okay, well, let's just pause here and breathe and see. And just wait for the information to arrive.
Yeah, exactly.
So much fun.
And
mm-hmm.
what she was describing in group, too, is, so then information comes in, like, okay, this is the next move.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't necessarily mean we have the information on how to execute it yet.
Right.
You know, so just yeah. that patience,
yeah.
you know, and that trust.
Yeah.
And that
yeah.
just practicing being here. And then, okay. And we all look at it, okay, that seems to make sense. And then we give it a try because we don't know, actually,
yeah.
how it's going to go. Which is so fun when you're in that perspective of life is guiding us. And this was such a concrete way to see that. You know,
yeah.
no one's done this before. And so, okay, so here comes some information. Okay, I'm not clear how to execute it yet. And the thing that I got to see today, because we were looking at putting the third one in place, is how fun it is to do it as a group. Because, of course, there are all these other nodes of intelligence.
Yeah.
I mean, because we don't really know what we're doing. We don't know how it's going to work out. And then we got to this place of, well, we don't know how we're going to get this tank over these rocks.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you just watch, like, I mean, if we could just see it visually, it just drops in. Somebody goes, bink, and here's their idea. Wow.
Uh-huh.
Okay, let's check that out. So we do a couple of things, and then somebody else says something. Oh, yes, okay, that'll work. You know, and just that unfolding.
Yeah. And you know, the way you're describing it, it's just absolutely brilliant, and it really illustrates how awareness practice pays off in such practical ways. Because really, I could see as you were describing it, there are so many places that if one weren't trained not to go to conditioned mind, you would get stopped, right? So even if the information did drop in, well, how about this? That place where you said, and yet we don't know how to execute it yet. The training to not go, well, how about this? No, that's not going to work. Right? Because that's what we're trying to do. No, that's not going to work. So we don't even hang in there and trust that, okay, we got the information. We just don't have the execution piece of the puzzle. And then that piece of, well, let's try it out and see. You know, even when
let's
we do
see.
Get the execution information. And then we can try it out and have our own experience.
And have our own experience, yes. I mean, I just look at my life, and you can just imagine a lot of times you're like, well, this isn't going to work, and I made a mistake or something like that. And I also remember Sherry saying, these tanks would not be on the property unless they had a place to go. They just wouldn't be.
Beautiful.
So
beautiful.
So from that place, we can drop anything of like, oh, maybe we shouldn't have done. You know, we just go, well, I don't know how it's going to happen. Then it's just so exciting and fun, you know. I wonder how this is going to work out, because it is. It's going to work out.
Exactly.
And we get a front row seat to see how, and just as you were saying, I mean, it just makes the abstract training so concrete to have a project like this.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, and then you can watch it, and then you can feel it, as you said, have our own experience of it.
Yeah.
And that's something that no one could ever tell you or explain to you, you know.
Right. So it's really both things, isn't it? It's we get the, as in a concrete project like this, we get to see the benefits of all the training that we have, and in a project like this, we're getting trained at an even deeper level. So it's like it just keeps building on itself in that beautiful kind of a way.
It is a beautiful kind of way. And, you know, sometimes I just imagine these just big, large tanks, just kind of benevolent, like they're just here so we can train. Sure,
exactly.
You know, You can roll me and push me and
roll
this
me
shirt
around.
This and that. Whatever you need to do, because everything is in service to waking up.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, and just the last principle I saw in it as you were saying that is the letting go piece too. Because if we even just take today as an example, there are a number of great things that dropped in for different people, right? And then as one thing would drop in, it would make another one moot. We no longer need that piece of it.
Yeah.
Right? And the letting go, instead of like, I know for me there can be like a, but that was such a good idea. We have to, right?
Yeah,
I'm
and,
sure
and we already started on it. And so,
that
was amazing, actually. Yes. Yeah, it really left me in a, I don't really know anything. It really is a letting go. Like, I don't want to hold on to anything, like a better idea or that idea we had 30 seconds ago. I don't want to because it's so clear where we want to live. I mean,
and
first of all, those sort of things don't work. It doesn't work to hold on to those things.
Right.
But second of all,
it doesn't work.
It's just so amazing to just be here and be in that experience, you know, how rich life is in that way. And, to, you know, be in community. And again, you know, to feel those hands of the rest of the Sangha right there around us, behind us, on those tanks, too, is lovely as well.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you for ending us and starting us with that image. That really is a beautiful image. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I think we could go on and on, right?
We could.
Hope we won't.
Yeah, and we might have some more updates, but if you haven't, check out the pictures in the monastery newsletter under the monastery wall. You'll get a sense.
Get a sense of it. Yeah, it's true, and I'm sure you're right. We will have more updates. And just to say, gosh, I almost forgot. So we, you know, worked really, really quickly to get those tanks in because we had some big storms coming, and we did have a great storm. And we literally, let's see, the first tank, which is, I believe, 5,500 gallons, is 3/4 of the way full, and a second one, 2,500 gallons, is about halfway full now from one storm. So it's just, it's extraordinary what's happening. Yeah, really, really exciting. And thank you so much, Scott, for being here to walk us through it.
It's a pleasure. Thanks, Jen.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.
All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Scott. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Hey, Michael. How you doing?
Great. How are you?
Oh, great. I was part of that team.
Yeah.
I tell you, I hope people get a sense. You know, when you listen to Conditioned Mind, going to a monastery is just about the most awful, hideous, depressing thing anybody can do. And then we're here. And it is so much fun.
Yes.
This beautiful day. Yeah. It's beautiful to be outside. And Scott and Jen just did a wonderful job of describing what it was like because there we all are. You know, I just knew this first idea was a winner, right? I mean, it was just so obvious. We were going to put the ladders under the tank and get on each end, kind of like, you know, you see people do with big, heavy things all over the world. You know, you get two people on the end of a stick and then something hangs from the middle and they get 1, 2, 3, go. All that happened was a lot of, as people realize, no, we're not going to pick this thing up. It's not going to happen. And then the fun really began, right? So, wow, what about, you know, somebody says, well, we could, you know, we could, how about if we put it on the tractor? Yeah, let's, okay. Well, what if we, and then, yeah, and finally we got to the perfect solution, the perfect thing that's going to work perfectly. And the numbers that they were giving, so we have a big storm coming in, hopefully, this weekend. Possibly a white Christmas.
Another one. Oh, good.
Yeah, quite frankly, I'm hoping we don't have, because for us, you know, snow is just not a happy thing. Since anybody who's been to the monastery knows that the road in covered with snow is a ski run, and which is, you know, great, except we need to drive up out of it. So it's, you know, it's not that special. But hopefully we're going to have three of the tanks in place and receiving more donations of rain. And it's really exciting. Jen said today, you know, we could have 15 of these things all over the property, which we could because we have so many big roofs from which to gather water. But then we want to stop short of greed, right? Because Gadolfo only use so much water. So we'll go through a season and just see, you know, see what it's like and how much more we could have. And maybe it's time, you know, with this in place, maybe we can once again expand the garden because we had cut back so much on everything, saving water. So now maybe we expand and be able to grow more of our things and have more of the trees that we had hoped to have on the property. So it's really super exciting.
That is so exciting. And I love how you put it as receiving donations. That is just perfect.
Nature offering. Yeah. And us receiving, happily receiving.
Yes. Yeah. And Scott's image of the hands of the Sangha, it gave me chills when he was talking about that.
Oh, yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah, it is a community effort from beginning to end. Everything about practice is, isn't it? Yeah. When we hear something like, nothing happens to anybody that doesn't happen to me, when it happens to anybody happens to me, you know, those kinds of images, and we have a sense of the truth of that, then we really do understand that we are all doing whatever it is, we are all doing it. So we want to make sure that what we're doing is what we want to be doing.
Yes, yes, yes. And so great that you got rain already and they're almost filled up.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah, incredible. Yeah. Yes. I mean, it truly, when Penny was the one who came up with all the numbers for this, worked out the first numbers, and it just didn't seem possible. And then when you start capturing water, rainwater, wow, you get a sense that, a bunch of it comes down all at once. And it's thrilling. It's really thrilling.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Shall I jump into announcements?
Oh, yes, please, sir.
Okay. There will be no radio show next week. That's Tuesday the 27th because the New Year's retreat is starting.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah, and I heard that there are, because of various things that happen at the last minute, there are one and possibly two slots left in that retreat. So if somebody has fear as an issue in life, which I doubt any of us do, but in case somebody does have fear as an issue, it's not too late. Override voices and contact registration office.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, and as a reminder, that's in Menlo Park, California, in the San Francisco Bay Area. And the retreat goes from easy to get to, easy to reach by plane from anywhere in the world, as we know.
Mm-hmm.
And it runs from December 27th to January 1st, featuring meditation, group discussions, yoga, and guidance with you, Sherry.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And two popular books are back for the holidays. Hot off the presses are an updated Zen Monastery Cookbook, recipes and stories from a Zen kitchen, and the Fear Book, Facing Fear Once and for All, revised edition.
Yes, and revised to include our beloved recording and listening practice.
Oh, that's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Great. Yeah. And so order your copies at keepitsimple.org. Yes. And as many of you have already, join us for a special call-in practice support, Seeing with the Eyes of Love, weekdays from 9 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. Pacific Time. And the last call is this coming Friday morning.
Last call for a while. Cool. People heard a rather momentous announcement on the call today, which will all be revealed at the kickoff, I guess. Which, when is the kickoff? Do you know, Michael? Is that date there in front of you?
Yes, I do. It's Saturday, January 21st.
Saturday, January 21st. Boy, we want to get that on our calendars, don't we? Because that's a talk about a whole Sangha event. Yeah.
Yes, yes. And that's 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Pacific time, the same time it has been in previous years.
All right. Good. Fun.
For folks who want to call into that morning radio show, that call-in information is at schedule.livingcompassion.org. Reflective Listening Buddies is a popular weekly support for conscious, compassionate awareness, requiring participants to show up to practice being present. And a new quarter begins on January 15th.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and as you just mentioned, Sherry, we're starting off the new practice year with that video workshop with you, Saturday, January 21st, and then sign up for the 2017 year-long retreat, which is Project Joy, or Project Joy, for...
However we want it, huh? We can have it as a project, we can project it, oh my gosh, it goes in every direction.
Yes. Yes, and with the year-long retreat, you'll get 365 days of practice, guidance, and support. And for these and other practice opportunities, visit schedule.livingcompassion.org.
Yes. Think of that. We will be together practicing every day for the entire year.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I certainly need it.
You do what?
I certainly need it.
Yeah, well, we all do, don't we? Yeah, and we could. We certainly have enough stuff going on that people, if they wanted to, but this is a come right into your ear every day, live.
Great.
So exciting.
Great. Yeah, wonderful, wonderful. Mm-hmm. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can make guest show by pressing *6 and then 1. And 5-minute conversation is great on one topic. Really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Ready, Sherry?
Yeah, I'm ready. Thank you, Michael.
All right. Thank you. Here we go. First caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
This is Rico. Am I on the line?
You are, Rico. Good evening.
Oh, gee whiz. Lucky guy. Hi, Sherry.
Don't you love my work? And Mercury is retrograde, and it's still working.
Really? Boy, it's a lucky retrograde.
Yeah, exactly.
Really? So, Sherry, I had two questions, and... One of them is about stillness in Sazen, and the second question, before I forget, is how the voice of compassion can turn against us. So the first one is about still body, still mind, and sometimes, for example, if... there's an itch. We'll just use that as an example. And sometimes it just seems to detract from focusing on the breath when I'm just struggling with not moving.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking for some guidance on that topic.
Well, you know, Rico, what I think what happens to us, what we fall into, is having an idea that there's an experience that we're meant to be having other than the one we're having. And so if I get this out of the way, then I'll be able to get on to the experience I am meant to be having or I want to be having or whatever. But the experience in the situation that you described, the experience that I'm having is I'm having an itch. Okay, that is the experience that I'm having. And so if I don't fall into believing in that other better experience that I'm going to have as soon as I take care of this itch, then I'm going to stay there with that itch. I'm going to stay with it for as long as it's there. And I'm going to be present to it in a way that enables me to find out everything there is to find out about itches and my beliefs about itches and fears that go with itches, which is, an interesting thing. We would say, how can you be afraid of an itch? Okay, well, just pay attention for a while, and we begin to see, our relationship with it in terms of frustration or impatience or better ideas. You know, our whole world of practice can be right there in that itch as we stay with the itch. And at a certain point, we will have seen a great deal about itches. We will have changed our relationship with them. I'll just give away the answer to whatever that is that you give away. That what we get to is we are not bothered by itches. We have reached a point that some people would call mastery. So something itches, and I know the trajectory of an itch. I've watched thousands of them, and so I can just know that that's what's happening, and I can be present and just actually be in kind of a state of stillness and silence and presence as the itch does what it does, just as there might be a ringing telephone or a plane that goes over or the kids are screaming in the other room or whatever it is that goes on, and the stillness and silence that I'm going for is not affected by any content. And then I'm free. But if I have to arrange things in order to have a particular experience that I want, that experience is probably going to remain elusive for a lifetime.
Which I assume means as soon as I get this itch out of the way, then I can be sitting.
That's right. Yeah, and as soon as I do this, then I'll be happy. As soon as I do this, then I can relax. As soon as I do this, then I'll whatever it is. And the deadly implication there is that time, as we are meant to believe it exists, actually exists. That there is a now that I need to get out of the way so that I can get on to the real life experience that out there in a future.
Well, I want to be in the next now. Thank you very much.
That's right. I want a better now. We know that only ego is going to have that sort of thing going on.
Well, this actually lays the ground for the second question, and that is I've had three surgeries this year, and sometimes the posture is like I get to my limit and I need to move a little to relieve these mechanical problems, and the voice that comes in and says, Rico, it's really, and so I assume it to be the mentor. Okay, it's fine. You're doing the best that you can. And most of the time, I feel that it's genuine.
Yeah. Nope. Nah. And I'm really glad you're bringing this up, because I'll tell you what, As we're fond of pointing out, egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate will use anything to perpetuate itself. And so when we began to encourage people to look at aspects of the personality as a way of disidentifying, as a way of stepping back and seeing that there isn't this monolithic I that is real and permanent and that sort of thing. People just got lost in egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, masquerading as small children who needed all sorts of things like, you know, ice cream and candy and to lie in bed all day and read novels, and because the children would get so upset and frightened if you were going to do it. And it was just finally, it's like, okay, we can't do that anymore, all right, because it's just a huge misunderstanding of what we're attempting to use this concept for. And the mentor is going to suffer the same fate. And for that reason, thank you for bringing this up, we need to talk a lot about the fact that the mentor is not a cheerleader. The mentor is not your buddy. The mentor is not going to give you messages like, oh, it's okay, you really tried. That is not the mentor. That's the same process of egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, coming in and learning the lingo and learning the tone of voice and that sort of thing, and then delivering its own messages through that medium. So, no, I think I can say with great confidence, well, I am saying it with great confidence. I could be wrong, but I'm still saying it with great confidence. That's not the mentor.
That's right on. And the image that came to me just as you were saying is I suffered through, I don't know, 16 years, including college, of Catholic education. And starting grade one were these diagrams of Satan seducing Adam and Eve as their ally with this mm-hmm. voice. Well, you know, I'm really on your side, and I really want what's best for you. And mm-hmm. it's almost as if that I don't want to call it permissiveness as or permission, but I think you really brought my attention to how the voices of conditioning can use anything to, I don't want to say weaken my resolve as far
well,
as...
Well, but yeah,
it's twofold,
right? Right, because the first thing that system wants is attention. That's what it's really going for. So it'll beat you up for being a weakling, right? Come on, get a sign there. You're just a wuss, right? And then the other side of it is, it's okay. You know, you sat yesterday. You don't have to meditate every day. You know, you had a hard year. And then you go along with that, and it starts beating you up for quitting. Yeah. So you know, Rico, the expression that we have for this is, you can always do more than ego says you should, and it's a really good idea to do less than ego says you should. So the bottom line that we've gotten to with that is, don't listen to those voices in the head, because they're going to be playing both sides of the ping pong table.
Exactly. So yeah. I know I want to give the floor to somebody else, but would there be, how would I say, I don't want to reduce things to catchphrases, but like some kind of reminder or a qualifier for me to use. Is this conditioning again, or is this truly the mentor?
Yeah, well, and, you know, Rico, the fastest way for people that I have heard from people, for people to answer that question, is through recording and listening. Because when you listen for a while, you can hear. In the same way that you can tell, you know, somebody starts talking and you think, oh, they got a good line there. That sounds really good. And after you listen for a while, you think, they're starting to sound like a used car salesman. And
I get that. I know what you're saying.
Yeah, in the same way, we can be fooled when we're listening inside our heads, But when we start hearing it on the machine, we can often step back and hear it in a different way. And you'll begin to hear what the mentor actually sounds like as compared to somebody who's trying to con you.
Oh, God, that's clear. That's helpful.
Yeah.
Sure.
And of course, this is Zen, as we know. So the bottom line for us is we don't believe anything. So somebody says something and it's, is that so? Even the mentor, because the mentor is not in charge of, responsible for, or any of those kinds of things for your awakening. Okay? The mentor will be an aid, an assist, but is not going to be able to provide it. So even with the mentor, we need to have our own direct experience. And that's what we're going for.
Mm. Well, there it is.
Yeah. So, I mean, if the Buddha were meditating right next to you, Buddha still couldn't confer enlightenment.
Amen.
Yeah. All right. Amen. Thank you, Rico.
Sherry, thank you so much. Blessings to everyone.
Pleasure.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Michael. Blessings
to everyone.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Rico. Sherry, that was a great conversation, very illuminating for me to hear you elucidate the characteristics of the mentor.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, that thing about those voices in conditioned mind will use anything. We really don't ever want to lose sight of how committed that process is. You know, we can drift off and lose focus and get involved in something else and want, but it never does. Right? It's mm-hmm. just right there working its program all the time. So you want to do awareness practice? Okay, I can do awareness practice with you. What do you say when this? What do you say when that? What do you say? Okay, yeah, I got it. So we want to not be paranoid about it, but we also don't want to lack respect for it, because it is definitely a worthy opponent. When we get to the place where we reach that stillness and the silence and that sort of thing that Rico was talking about, there will be nothing that is going to take us away from that, because we're not going to get there until we've gotten past every one of those impediments. That's what practice is. And, of course, one of the things that it does so successfully is convince people it shouldn't be that way, that it shouldn't be so hard. You shouldn't have to. You should be able to. No, it's the hardest thing anybody will ever, ever, ever take on in their whole entire lives. That's why the Buddha pointed out it takes lifetimes for people to get to the point of even considering that they might be ready to do this. So, Yeah, it's not going to be a walk in the park. It's all that we ever promise is it's really fun, it's really exciting, and it's really worthwhile. None of that is easy.
Yes, and bring your warrior spirit and hold hands.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Wow. That's great. Sherry, we are going to break here and hear from our sponsor, and then we'll be back to talk with more callers.
All right. I'm good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have another caller here, Sherry.
Oh, good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello, Michael. Hello, Sherry. It's Anna from Yorkshire in England.
Well, Hi. Hello. How are you doing this middle of the night?
I know, yeah. Well, I've finished work, so I thought I'd call.
Oh, that's right. You're on break.
Yes.
Ah.
Yeah.
The blessings of being a teacher, huh?
I know. And I'm really pleased that I called, because obviously you're not there next week, so, and then it'll be back to it after that, so. So I'm really pleased to get through. I have called a couple of times and not been able to get through, so I'm really happy. And I'm really enjoying the show, and I love the story about the water containers.
Sounds
really fun, and I liked seeing the photos in the newsletter, and then when Scott was explaining it all, he did it so well, I could imagine it. Sounds really fun.
Yes. It's good, isn't it? I mean, it's, you can just picture the whole process. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, and I don't
that,
even
that
know what
that is that place of feeling like we're all doing it together.
Yeah, absolutely, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so I'm just phoning to say hello, really, and I thought I'd just say I've really enjoyed doing the Big Bamboozle book all year, so we're on the very final one this week.
I know. It's amazing, isn't it?
That
it's gone by like this, yeah.
Yeah, it's been really great to do it with the Sangha, you know, every week, So I've got a separate notebook just for that, because I have a notebook anyway, where I, a journal book, and I've got a separate one for that, and then my recordings, and then and then hearing the what the assignment is at the end of the virtual meditation, and all really great. So
you can be physically a long ways away and still be really connected, huh?
Absolutely. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. I always feel like I am. Mm-hmm. So the final one is great. Don't take anything personally, which I always find a challenge. So it's good to do it.
Mm-hmm. That is a hard one, isn't it? That's a really hard one. I think because it just goes back to such an early age. You know, we were getting messages that sure seemed personal. And they seemed definitely directed at us. So quite a lot of training in that sort of how people are with me is because of me. There's a lot of deep beliefs there, too. Excavate, huh?
I mean, I've been following your work for quite a long time, I suppose, now, and that one doesn't really seem to get any easier, but what I think might be happening is that I'm just seeing more, that's all, so it is getting easier, but it doesn't feel like it, because I'm seeing so much, I suppose. It's like bam, bam, bam all the time. Every day it's like, oh, God, I took that seriously. I can see it now, whereas before I wouldn't have realized.
That is such an important point. It really goes with what we were just talking about, doesn't it? That if we listen to conditioned mind, then it's saying, oh, well, you are going backwards here, because look, there's that and that and that, and you did that, and you did that, and that, and that, and that, and that, and we don't, if we're not paying attention, which you obviously are, we don't realize that, all of that was happening before. I just didn't know it. I wasn't paying attention. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's big, isn't it?
Yeah, I loved it when you said believe nothing. I think those go really well with each other. Take nothing personally and believe nothing. I absolutely just love that. So, again, I find that quite hard. So I think that's why I like it, because it's like, it's so radical. It's like, yes, I'm going to do it. I'm going to believe nothing.
right, exactly. I'm going to, that was one of the things that my teacher said, that early on when I was, first studying with him, and his point was, why would you want to believe something that you can experience? And whether the first time I heard him say, he was talking about God. He said, why would you want to believe in God when you can experience God? And there was just that realization that, yes, I would want to drag around through my life an old idea, and I would choose that over being present and able to have a direct experience of what people call God. So as soon as that fell into place, it's like, well, why would you want to believe anything? It just takes up space that could be available for the present.
Yes. I do love it. I do like it. It's a good guide.
And if you don't believe anything, then it's almost impossible to take anything personally. Because to take something personally has to be built on a massive belief system.
It's a good one. I'm going to have that as my project for for the next couple
that'll
of weeks. That'll
be part of your project joy, right?
Yes, yeah, that's so exciting. So I'll be there on the 21st. I'm looking forward to it. So,
oh, good.
Yeah.
Oh, very good. Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right. Well, enjoy your vacation.
Yeah.
And see you on the 21st. Thank you, Anna.
Yeah. And thank you for being there and for doing everything that you do. And thank you, as always, to Michael. Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Bye. Night-night.
You're welcome, Anna, and thank you for joining us. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Barbara from Australia.
My goodness, we are going international tonight.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
I'm doing all right, I'm a bit surprised to get on. I just wanted to participate, really. I had trouble connecting on the computer with the start meeting. I've been having a bit of trouble for a while with that, actually. So when I called with the phone, I thought, better press star 6.
Well, I don't know. Maybe the message went out there. And somebody can look into that. I don't honestly know how all of that works, but I hope so because, that would be
I don't know
nice.
Whether anyone...
Be good.
Yeah, I'm not... It might just be at my end. I'm not sure, but anyway, I have a phone that I can use, so that's fine.
Good. What's going on?
Well, I've been in a big transition. Packed up my...
Big move.
Big move. Like, it's a trial move, so I've got a safety net. I've sublet my place and haven't moved all my things, but it's been interesting, Sherry. It was quite challenging physically and hadn't really anticipated that, and, when I first arrived, it's been a bit of a rocky time. And, in retrospect, if I think back, I think, well, of course, it was a big thing for me to do.
I could have known that.
Yeah, I could have known that. But obviously, anyway, so...
We don't know. We don't know
until
afterwards, and that's how we find things out. Yeah.
Yeah. So I had a big flare-up with a pain condition I've been kind of working with all year, and it had been improving, and then I felt like I was back to the drawing board again since I arrived. So that's kind of just, you know, it's interesting to watch what happens with that. It makes me sort of find something to blame and feel like I want to quit everything that I've been doing because it mustn't be working. And, yeah, it's been... Mm-hmm.
And I bet you know who, in quotes, benefits from that approach.
I do. And I had a morning the other morning when I woke up with that feeling of I just want to give up. And I remember calling into the show one time when I was having a day like that, and you sort of saying, and then what? what does giving up look like? So, you know, and those feelings, they don't hang around for very long these days. But so one thing that I've done, I signed up to do the recording and listening training just because I thought I need extra support, and there'd been a lot of resistance to doing the recording and listening. So that's been good.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, there's still resistance, but I'm just trying to take the approach of just showing up, you know, just showing up.
Yes, and again, if we even if it's just an intellectual understanding that resistance is only ever ego not wanting us to do what will get rid of it.
Yeah.
However that comes in, that this is now I'm having an opportunity to see what it's like when ego has taken over. Okay, that's how it feels. Heels dug in, no to everything, not happy. All right, that's ego. Good. And what am I willing to do not to have that experience? Okay, any and everything. All right, pick up the recorder. And to know that is, it's kind of back to Rico and the itch, right? It is simply what we have to do to get past ego. We just have to. And in that process of realizing what's having difficulty with this is not me. So it really is a twofold win for the human being. So every time that resistance comes up and I get clearer and clearer about it, there's the tension in the body and there's the conversation in the head and there's the, you know, the set to my mouth and, you know, okay, good. Draw a picture of it. This is ego, right? This is what it's like when ego has taken me over. This is what the world looks like. This is what I'm hearing. This is how my body feels. This is, okay, and so I'm getting distance on that. At the same time that I'm using all of that stuff as an encouragement to do what's going to get me out of that. So if I don't do these other things, then the rest of my life is going to be lived with that thing, that parasite inhabiting my being. So that can inspire me to start looking around for the things to do that will get me free of it.
Yeah.
And when we make that shift into ego is no longer a believable story, something that I'm going to identify with, it's now a flag that tells me to run. Don't walk, run to my recording device and start getting present, then we have made, when we get to that point, we've made huge strides. And that system knows it, right? That's why it is so resistant, right? It knows that this spells the end of its regime.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One of the things that's been really helpful through doing the classes is, yeah, I'm getting more of an awareness around how conditioning has got a constant commentary going on. This hasn't always been the case, but at the moment, about recording this, and even while I'm doing it, the commentary is continuing. So it really helped me to see that, to recognize, that's what's happening. So it's trying to sort of, it isn't just trying to stop me from getting to the recorder, it's trying to affect my whole experience of doing it, listening to it.
Yeah.
So it's been really pulling out the guns.
Yes. And again, back to the comment about Satan and Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, right? We get a sense of that force in action. You're getting to, and it has to do it, right? It has to try to talk you out of doing this, right? Has to make it either get you not to do it in the first place, or if you are going to do it, make it such a miserable experience that you won't want to do it again, right? And you can have an opportunity, such a powerful opportunity, to see how that force operates. And again, it's doing what it's doing so that people won't see it. All of these things that we do in practice reveal it. And as we get clearer about what it's doing and how it does that, it's just losing ground at a larger and larger rate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And at a certain point, Barbara, it's gonna be more fun than it sounds like it is for you now. Right?
And it has been at other times too.
Oh, good. Yeah, because when we realize, so there's the bully, right? And it's sneaky and it's slimy. It's always behind the scenes. It's sitting there on your shoulder, whispering nasty stuff in your ear, and it's scary and it seems powerful. All of those things, you know, it's just awful, and we just want to run and hide and never have to face it. And then we turn that corner and we realize, bud, you got nothing. You're just a voice. Mm-hmm. And I don't need to pay any attention to you whatsoever. You know, and it start, and now you're watching it, right? So you're looking at, if it had eyes, you'd be looking it in its eyes, and you're saying this, and you realize it doesn't have anything. It can scream and yell. It can threaten for when I go to bed tonight, or it's going to get, I'll get you in your dreams. You're going to have nightmares. Yeah. Okay. Right. Yeah. And it's over.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I'm very grateful for, also I just wanted to say it's been great to listen to the recordings of the morning call-in show. Yeah, I've been really appreciating that. It's great, and been a great support. And
good.
Yeah, the effects of that election, you know, they reached Australia as well. I've got to say, it is a global phenomenon.
Oh, yeah, that's only just begun.
Yeah.
It makes a person happy to have an awareness practice that is larger than current events. Doesn't it?
Yes. Very much.
It's good to have a spiritual perspective that is the long haul when you do something that talks in terms of lifetimes and kalpas, then we realize that whatever is happening currently, while it's a very big deal for those who are invested in a very small view, it's not nearly as terrifying for those of us who do a practice that acknowledges that what the Buddha said, society is insane, and to be able to look at that without any particular judgment, just to realize egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate is insane. It will act out in insane ways, and we're left with the same thing that has always been true for us. We need to choose unconditional love and kindness in each and every moment, regardless of what's happening in the world. It's always been the case, always will be the case, and I at least find comfort in that.
Yeah, well, I have too. So thank you. Much gratitude. Mm-hmm. And okay, good to get
all
through.
All right, talk to you soon.
Thanks, Sherry.
Thank you, Barbara.
Michael.
Good night.
Good night.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Barbara. Sherry, I loved how you talked about the bully there, and you've got nothing. And it drew me back to when you were talking about the fear book and the New Year's retreat, and to have that confidence to know what that is and to call it on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, to prove it to ourselves over and over and over, however often. And it, again, it's back to the itch, because we have that opportunity, right? Moment by moment by moment by moment, whatever is happening in your life, in her life, in his life, in their life, in my life, whatever is happening, could be anything, can be, probably will be, anything. And our opportunity is to approach it in the same way, with a trust that everything in life is our best opportunity to wake up in suffering, that it's possible to do that, that we can do it in this lifetime, that there's nothing real in life that wants anything for us other than unconditional love and happiness, moment by moment by moment by moment.
Wow, that's great.
Good. It is,
good
isn't
news.
It?
Good news.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
And we have time for one more call here, Sherry.
Good. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Lucinda at Lake Tahoe.
Well, hello.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you. We got rain, too, which is amazing up here. It
good.
You know, in the past has been snow, but only up very high was it snow. Otherwise, rain.
Yeah. Well, we're counting on you folks up there to get a lot of nice rain and a lot of nice snow. Keep that snow and save it for us for August. So do your best,
yes.
Okay?
Yes. Yeah, I'll do my best.
All right, good. Yes. What's going on?
I called to ask about my sitting practice. The last time I called, about a couple of months ago, you had said that what I would be a good practice for the next, whenever we spoke again, was to sit for 10 minutes and just be in gratitude and not
mm-hmm.
to try and hold, do you remember, not try to
mm-hmm.
hold still
yep.
or, you know, whatever. And so now a couple of months has gone by and you asked me to call and say how it's going, and so that's why I'm calling. And it's what I noticed is at first it was tra-la-la and really great and everything, and after maybe two or three weeks, it started being kind of like gears turning that don't have oil, you know, like, and it was that feeling of getting distracted and lost in thought, and coming back to gratitude, you know, that process over and over with the moments when I was not with gratitude being fingernails on a blackboard feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What we get to see, because it seems like, well, that's easy, right? I'm going to sit down
yes.
for 10 minutes in a nice, comfy house, and I'm going to attend to gratitude. I can do that. But what we get to see in this is that system wants to, needs to be in control of the human all the time. And it's actually dangerous. So if you were to be able to sit down for 10 minutes and be in gratitude, and that's it, you know, you would get up from that, you would love it, you would be changed by the experience, you would very likely want more of that. Before long, you'd want to be sitting for 15 minutes in gratitude and then 20 minutes in gratitude. And pretty soon, it would begin to spill over into the rest of your life. And so you'd just be walking around, and your attention would turn to gratitude. You feel gratitude. You feel your heart open. And now you're doing stuff, you know, work, chores, whatever it is that you're doing, and your attention would turn to gratitude, and you would feel your heart open, and right? This is very, very dangerous stuff for egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. And so it needs to be nipped in the bud.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Well,
egocentric?
Yes. And I uh-huh. have found a beautiful, soft background feeling of gratitude be more part of my present. But then again, in my sit, it turns, you know, ugly.
Yes, absolutely. I do know. Yes. Anybody who's tried this sort of thing knows. And so now we're back to the itch again, right? As soon as we realize, because the implications for this are just enormous. I mean, the entire human experience is captured in your little story that you just told, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so now you get it, all right? This is not a lot to ask. You know, all I want to do is sit down for 10 minutes and focus on gratitude, and I'm not allowed to do that,
mm-hmm.
okay? And hopefully you're able to see that the way I've laid that out is the way it's happening. It's not that you are doing any of that. You're the one who wants to sit down for 10 minutes and feel gratitude, okay? And then this force, this system, this whatever it is, comes in, and there's the distraction, there's the increasing ugliness about the whole thing, right? Now, if you decide, and this is kind of the choice point for a human being. Most people, the vast majority of people, would say, okay, I don't want to do that anymore. It's the, you know, I want to quit. And it's not even probably a conscious thought. It's just, okay, that's not fun. I'm not doing that. And they don't realize, a lot of the conversation we had with Anna, that nothing has changed in their lives. They're just not conscious. They're just not paying attention to the fact that they are utterly and absolutely controlled by a nasty force that is sucking their life out of them. Okay, you can see it in people because people are unhappy and people are angry and depressed and upset and all of those kinds of things, right? I mean, if we go look at the election, you'd think, well, there would be one group of people at least who would be really happy because they won the election, right? But it doesn't seem to turn out that way, right? People are just as upset and angry and hateful. You know, the potential for being that way is the same whether people have won or lost, in quotes, right? So if you decide that you are going to be someone who says, no, I'm not. My life is not going to be turned over to that system. I will not be controlled. I will do what I choose to do in my life. Then you will take it on. And then the battle will begin.
Yes, it has.
Yeah. Okay, so you've already made the decision. You are one of those people who is going to say, no, 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 you're not going to have my life.
Right, yes.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And I
okay.
really have noticed, even with that commitment, I really have noticed more moments of awakening. And
a presence.
Of presence, of being uh-huh. in the present and going, oh, whoa, was that ever a story? Or, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Uh-huh.
Yes.
All right. Well, this is great because what's going to happen now, of course, is that you're going to keep putting one foot in front of the other on the path. And it's kind of, I don't know, if we don't take it personally or take it seriously or that sort of thing, it can sort of look like a video game, right? So there you are, you're putting one foot in front of the other on the path, and the forces of egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, are arrayed against you, right? And they've got every kind of weapon, and they're hiding behind everything, and they, you know, they've got great camouflage. You don't even know when they're there until all of a sudden that's not a tree, that's actually a, okay? And so if we have that spirit of this is going to be really interesting, okay? And nothing, that your only job is to show up, right? Just put one foot in front of the other. You don't have to like it. You don't have to enjoy it. You don't have to be enthusiastic about it. You don't have to be without resistance. But all of that stuff is there. Your only job is to keep showing up and putting one foot in front of the other. It's like what we say about sitting, right? People think when they meditate that they've got to have a certain experience. But what people have said who have meditated for eons, all you have to do is sit on the cushion. That's it. If you will sit on it, well, but my mind wanders and I... Okay, that's fine, and you can certainly bring a lot of willingness to coming back to the breath, but the important thing is just sit on the cushion. Okay, mm-hmm. Just sit there. That's it. Show up and sit there and pay attention, and the magic will happen.
Yes.
Just don't quit. Yeah. Yeah, just don't give up.
There were a couple of times when I didn't sit in the last couple of months, and I found myself in bed at night, you know, like 10 o'clock or whatever bedtime, going, oh, I didn't sit. And when you said it can even not be a conscious thought, just, oh, I don't feel like doing that, and then yes. I forget.
Yes. Yep.
That was really something.
Yes, yes, yes. Now, you have at that juncture, you have a couple of choices, right? One of the things is just to notice how nothing is said until you're right ready to fall asleep, and then the voice says, you didn't meditate today.
Right. Okay. Yes.
Now, I can't do that, huh? Yeah, and so you have a couple of choices. You could either say, okay, well, that's fine. I'm going to meditate twice tomorrow. Or you could say, well, okay, and you just get up and do it right then.
Right, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. Well, I would keep everything the same. Okay?
Okay.
So what you're going to do is continue your 10 minutes of gratitude and just notice as you try to keep your attention on gratitude, watch how it gets pulled away, and when you realize you've been pulled away, you just say, oh, thank you, which is great with your gratitude thing, right? Thank you, here I am, okay. And you come back to the breath, and you just keep doing that. And then you let me know what happens.
Yes, thank you. I will.
Thank you. So,
yes, thank
it's,
you so much.
It's so inspiring. All right,
thank
take
you.
Care. Talk to you soon.
Yes, good night.
All right, good night.
Thanks for joining us, Lucinda. That was another fabulous conversation, Sherry. Very, so interesting.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it's good. Huh? Plus, she's working on Snow Force, so there was a lot of good stuff that came from it. It was a great call, a great show, you know, from right from the beginning. Every, you know, don't quit, just show up. Don't fall for those voices either, the slimy ones or the
the scary ones. You know, we covered the waterfront on this one, didn't we? Yeah. Well, thank you, Michael. I so appreciate it. And I'll probably see you next week. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
You will.
Okay. Good. Very good.
There will be no
and
show.
Then,
yeah.
Yeah.
No
and then we'll talk again in 2 weeks.
Yes. Exactly. Perfect.
All right. Lovely.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you again. Okay.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.